"Now, sir," said the policeman after they had made a passage through the curious crowd and laid Arthur's peacefully inert body on a blanket, "perhaps you'd care to tell me who you are, where you come from, and what that little scene was all about." Ford looked at the ground for a moment, as if steadying himself for something. Then he straightened up and aimed a look at the policeman which hit him with the full force of every inch of the 6 light-years distance between Earth and Ford's home near Betelgeuse. "All right," said Ford, very quietly. "I'll tell you."
"Yes, well, that won't be necessary," said the policeman hurriedly. "Just don't let whatever it was happen again."
The policeman turned around and wandered off in search of anyone who wasn't from Betelgeuse. Fortunately, the crowd was full of them. Arthur's consciousness approached his body, as from a great distance and reluctantly. It had had some bad times in there. Slowly, nervously, it entered and settled down into its accustomed position. Arthur sat up.
"Where am I?" he said.
"Lord's Cricket Ground," said Ford.
"Fine," said Arthur, and his consciousness stepped out again for a quick breather.
His body flopped back on the grass. 10 minutes later, hunched over a cup of tea in the refreshment tent, the colour started to come back to his haggard face.
"How are you feeling?" said Ford.
"I'm home," said Arthur hoarsely. He closed his eyes and greedily inhaled the steam from his tea as if it was, well, as far as Arthur was concerned, as if it was tea, which it was.
"I'm home," he repeated. "Home. It's England. It's today. The nightmare is over."
He opened his eyes again and smiled serenely.
"I'm where I belong," he said in an emotional whisper.
"There are two things I feel I should tell you," said Ford, tossing a copy of The Guardian over the table at him.
"I'm home," said Arthur.
"Yes," said Ford. "One is," he said, pointing at the date at the top of the paper, "that the Earth will be demolished in 2 days' time."
"I'm home," said Arthur.
"Tea," he said.
"Cricket," he added with pleasure. "Mown grass, wooden benches, white linen jackets, beer cans."
Slowly he began to focus on the newspaper. He cocked his head on one side with a slight frown.
"I've seen that one before," he said.
His eyes wandered slowly up to the date, which Ford was idly tapping at. His face froze for a second or two, and then began to do that terribly slow crashing trick which Arctic ice floes do so spectacularly in the spring. "And the other thing," said Ford, "is that you appear to have a bone in your beard." He tossed back his tea. Outside the refreshment tent, the sun was shining on a happy crowd. It shone on the trees. It flashed off whirling cricket bats. It gleamed off the utterly extraordinary object which was parked behind the sight screens and which nobody appeared to have noticed. It beamed on Ford and Arthur as they emerged blinking from the refreshment tent and surveyed the scene around them. Arthur was shaking.
"Perhaps," he said, "I should..."
"No," said Ford sharply.
"What?"
said Arthur.
"Don't try and phone yourself up at home."
"How did you know?" Ford shrugged.
"But why not?"
said Arthur. "People who talk to themselves on the phone," said Ford, "never learn anything to their advantage."
"But..."
"Look," said Ford. He picked up an imaginary phone and dialed an imaginary dial.
"Hello?"
he said into the imaginary mouthpiece.
"Is that Arthur Dent?" "Ah, hello, yes. This is Arthur Dent speaking. Don't hang up."
He looked at the imaginary phone in disappointment.
"He hung up,"
he said, shrugged, and put the imaginary phone neatly back on its imaginary hook. "This is not my first temporal anomaly," he added. A glummer look replaced the already glum look on Arthur Dent's face.
"So we're not home and dry," he said.
"We could not even be said," replied Ford, "to be home and vigorously toweling ourselves off." The game continued. The bowler approached the wicket at a lope, a trot, and then a run. He suddenly exploded in a flurry of arms and legs, out of which flew a ball. The batsman swung and thwacked it behind him over the sight screens. Ford's eyes followed the trajectory of the ball and jagged momentarily. He stiffened. He looked along the flight path of the ball again, and his eyes twitched again. "This isn't my towel," said Arthur, who was rummaging in his rabbit skin bag.
"Shh,"
said Ford. He screwed his eyes up in concentration.
"I had a Golgafrinchen jogging towel," continued Arthur. "It was blue with yellow stars on it. This isn't it."
"Shh," said Ford again. He covered one eye and looked with the other.
"This one's pink," said Arthur. "It isn't yours, is it?"
"I would like you to shut up about your towel," said Ford.
"It isn't my towel," insisted Arthur. "That is the point I am trying to..."
"And the time at which I would like you to shut up about it," continued Ford in a low growl, "is now."
"All right," said Arthur, starting to stuff it back into the primitively stitched rabbit skin bag. "I realise that it is probably not important in the cosmic scale of things. It's just odd, that's all. A pink towel suddenly instead of a blue one with yellow stars."